Our scripture reading for today will come from the Old Testament. We'll be reading from the Pentateuch, from the book of Exodus. We'll be reading chapter 16 from the book of Exodus, verses 1 through 15. And that is going to be found on page 62 of your pew Bibles. At this time, let us listen to God's word for us. The whole congregation of the Israelites set out from Elim, and Israel came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they had departed from the land of Egypt. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I'm going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening, and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening quails came and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" This is the word of the Lord. Lord, I ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, who is my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. I don't have a lot of time to watch TV, much TV anyway, but several years ago there used to be a television program, one of those reality TV shows, called Survivor, I believe. Maybe it's a show that's still on. But the object of the show was to take people out into some deserted place, some wilderness. And there on the wilderness, on this deserted place, they would vie with one another in order to win prizes and money. Part of the attraction of the reality show is, as it is with many of those reality shows, is to watch people under very serious adverse conditions turn on one another and betray one another and eliminate one another from the competition. I think that's one of the reasons that people watch the show, not so much for the cooperation of people on the various teams, but to see who's going to betray one another and who's going to be able to stay and who's going to be able to leave. Someone said that those reality shows reflect very much the values that are extant in our society today, values of competition, values where the only thing that matters is my getting ahead at all cost. I'm not sure about that, but in any event, in our text that we read for this morning from the book of Exodus, the Israelites have been left out in the wilderness. They have not long been freed from Egyptian slavery, and they have, for a period of time, been at the oasis of Elam. But now God has brought them out under the leadership of Moses and Aaron out into the wilderness of sin, it is called. The problem is, of course, as in all wildernesses, there is nothing there. Nothing there that would be life-affirming. It's just a barren wilderness. And the people begin to do what we all do whenever we feel powerless in the face of a situation. They begin to grumble and complain. You know, we all grumble and complain sometimes, and grumbling and complaining is never attractive. We all do it. But here the Israelites begin to grumble and complain against Moses and Aaron. Moses and Aaron, you dummies, you've led us out here in the middle of nowhere. You've led us out here in the wilderness to die of hunger. Look, there's nothing out here. There's no McDonald's, there's no 7-Eleven, no Wawa, no Walmart. There's nothing out here. We're going to die of hunger. We're all going to die. We should have never left Egypt. We had it made in Egypt. Yes, we were slaves in Egypt. Yes, we had to work from sun up to sun down in Egypt, but at least there was fast food on every corner. But now there's nothing. We're out here in the face of this barrenness, in the face of this scarcity, in the face of this chaos, in the face of this possible death. We're going to die. The complaints, of course, are leveled against Moses and Aaron. But we know that the real target is against God. The same God who led them out of Egypt with mighty signs and wonders. The same God who rescued them from Pharaoh's chariots and armies. The same God who before them parted the Red Sea. But that was yesterday. And today is the day. Today they face a new challenge. Today they're looking into the wilderness. They're looking into nothing. They're looking into chaos and death. And so the people begin to grumble and complain. At issue, of course, is trust. Can they trust God? Is God still present with them? Is God with them in this new challenge? Where is God in the face of barrenness, in the face of chaos, in the face of death? Where is God in all of this? Can God still be trusted? Perhaps you've asked those questions during your own period of wilderness. Perhaps you're asking those questions today. Where is God? Where is God during this illness? Where is God during this period of unemployment? Where is God during this family breakup? Where is God in the bleakness and barrenness of our lives? Will God take care of us in the wilderness? Or has God brought us here to die? There are two things that are remarkable about this text. Well, there are many things that are remarkable about this text, but I want to highlight at least two of them here this morning. First of all, Moses tells the people that if they look into the wilderness, they will see the glory of God. In other words, God's glory is not in Egypt. It's not in Egypt with its skyscrapers and its advanced technology and its high standard of living, its military might, its brimming department stores. God's glory is not there, but God's glory is in the wilderness. That place where people are most dependent, are the most helpless, where the possibilities of life are most forlorn. It is in the wilderness where God will shape them and form them into the kind of people that God wants them to be. It is in the wilderness where they will learn what it means to trust in God and God alone. Secondly, despite the complaining and the grumbling and the whining on the part of the people, we are told repeatedly, that the Lord hears their complaints. You know, it's hard to listen to complaining, especially when you are on the receiving end of constant complaints. It's hard to listen to, especially when you've done everything you can for someone, oftentimes complaining sounds like ungratefulness. Would have been easy for the Lord to say what many of us say whenever we're faced with a lot of complaining, with people who are constantly complaining to us. Why don't you just be quiet? Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you just sit down and realize that I've already done a lot for you? Shut up and trust me. Don't you trust that I'm going to look after you? Don't you trust that I'm going to take care of your needs? Haven't I always come through for you during periods of difficulty? But that's not what the Lord says or does. Instead, God seems to understand how frightened the people are. God seems to understand how anxious they are, how hungry they are in the face of this seemingly barren reality. God hears their complaints. After all, it was God himself who promised them a new land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And the wilderness didn't look like the land that God had promised to them. It wasn't a land of milk. It wasn't a land of honey. And so the people complain. And it says that God hears their complaints. Sometimes we're a little apprehensive about going to God with our complaints. But here, at least, it seems to suggest that sometimes you've got to complain. Sometimes it's all right to complain. Sometimes you got to complain before God. Oftentimes in the book of Psalms and in the book of Lamentations, God's people are constantly complaining to God about their predicament. God, this is not the way it's supposed to be. God, this is not what you promised. God, this is not what we're following you for. God, you got to do something about it. Sometimes it's all right to complain. Sometimes it's all right to go before God with our complaints. The text says that God hears the complaints of the people. But God doesn't just hear their complaints. You know, oftentimes we complain to people and our complaints simply fall on deaf ears. Have you ever gone to a department store or some kind of customer service outlet and complained? You know that oftentimes complaints fall on deaf ears. But here, God does not just hear the complaints of the people, but it says the Lord responds by giving the people what they need. In the midst of scarcity, in the midst of barrenness, in the midst of their concern about their survival, God demonstrates God's presence with them by raining bread down from heaven. It's totally something new. They've never seen anything like it before. They ask, what is it? What is this bread? What is it? What is this stuff? We've never seen anything like it before. We haven't had this kind of bread in Egypt. It's not bread that is earned. It's not bread that is deserved. It's not bread that's been worked for, but it's bread that comes as pure gift. It's bread that comes from the vast doors of God's abundance. Pure gift. Just like the bread we have out in the hallway. Pure gift. But God rains down bread on the people. Pure gift. The only thing that the people have to do is to go out each day and collect it. That seems simple enough. No sowing, no reaping, just collecting. It doesn't get much easier than that. Even I can do that, can go out and collect what you need. The only caveat is that they can collect only what they need for one day. That's the rule. Can only go out and collect what you need for one day. Don't try to collect anymore. Don't try to hoard. Just go out and collect what you need for that particular day. The sixth day, of course, was different. On the sixth day, they could collect enough for 2 days because the seventh day was the Sabbath, the day of rest. No work, not even collecting, was permitted on the Sabbath. And, of course, the Israelites had never had a Sabbath before, not in Egypt. Not as slaves. Egypt was all about work and work and work and produce and produce and produce. In Egypt, they worked from sun up to sundown. They worked 24/7. But now in the wilderness, now in the face of God's abundance, they have a Sabbath, a day of rest. In God's abundance, in God's grace, there's not only enough. You don't have to continue to work and work and work and produce. But there is a Sabbath, a day of rest, a day of rest for the people, a day of rest for the land, a day of rest for the animals, a day of rest. The rest of the week, of course, they can go and collect what they are going to need for that day. It's about trusting God daily. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what we pray every Sunday. No hoarding, no storing, no inventorying, no banking, no investing, no bringing the values of Egypt into the wilderness. You know what happens when we bring the values of Egypt into the wilderness? We start getting petty. We start getting mean. We start being cruel and possessive. We become nasty with one another. We want to eliminate each other from the competition of life. Only thing that matters is going out and grabbing all that we can get. That's what happens when we bring the values of Pharaoh, the values of Egypt, into the wilderness. We start turning on one another. We stop seeing the glory of God and God's generosity all around us. We start grumbling and complaining, grumbling instead of gratitude, complaining instead of thanksgiving. But despite the Lord's clear instructions, some of the people we read a little later in chapter 16 can't help themselves. They see the bread out there. They see that it's freely available, and they go out and they try to collect and hoard as much as they can. Got to do it. That's the way we are. That's just a part of our nature sometimes. We can't trust God. We can't trust God daily. We got to go out and get as much as we can. If we could just have more. We could just have more bread. If we could just have more money. If we could just have more prestige. If we could just have more house. If we could just have more car. If we could just have more, then we won't have to trust God. We won't have to put our faith in God on a daily basis. We can put our faith and our trust in our investments, in our portfolios, in our bank accounts. But the text tells us that the next morning when the people go to inspect all that they've collected, all the extra bread has rotted. You can't collect and bank and invest God's good gift. It comes to us completely as a free gift. Well, you say, Pastor, what are you trying to say with all of this ranting and raving this morning? Well, one of the things I'm trying to say is stay away from those reality TV shows. They're atrocious. But most importantly, I have something to say about this story. The feeding of the man in the wilderness is not just a feeding story. It's not just a miracle. But the bread itself is a sign of God's graceful and powerful presence among God's people. It is a sign of the enduring love and concern that God has for the people, even in the wilderness, especially in the wilderness. It is God's answer to the deep, perplexing questions that they have about God's presence and God's care for them in the midst of their wilderness experience. In John's gospel, Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life, that he is the bread that comes from heaven. He is the locus of God's presence and love and care for us. He is the answer to our own deep-seated anxieties and fears before the forces and powers of death. Jesus reminds us that in him we have life, we have nourishment, we have all the bread that we need. We don't need any other kind of bread. We don't need the flesh pots of Egypt. We don't need to be sustained on the fare that Egypt provides for us. Jesus is the bread of life. We're reminded in our baptisms that we have been loved into existence. And we are reminded, too, that when we die, we belong to God. In Christ, we belong to God. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. God's love is all-encompassing. It is abundant love. And there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from that love. But because we know that we have that abundance of love, we can live our lives differently. This story also speaks to God's unrelenting desire to shape us and to transform us into a different kind of people, a faithful and trusting people, a people who can pray with sincerity as we prayed here this morning, give us this day our daily bread. When we know that we can trust God with our daily bread, when we know that we can trust God with our daily care, we don't have to be anxious about our lives. We don't have to be anxious about tomorrow, what we will wear, what we will eat. We don't have to imbibe the values of Egypt with this incessant consumerism. We can be free to practice the radical love and the radical neighborliness that true faith and trust in God allows us to practice. I don't believe that God is the author of any kind of hardship or pain. I don't believe that God is necessarily the author of any kind of wilderness experience. But sometimes it's through the wilderness that we learn what it means to trust in God. That's true individually, and it is also true collectively. There are some today who believe that the church, that God's people, that we today are living in a period of wilderness. We have become more and more marginalized, they say. No one is listening to what we have to say. No one cares what we have to say anymore. In the minds of many, the church is just an old, tired, historical relic. We look into the future and many young people don't go to church anymore, and we constantly complain about the future. We're frightened and anxious about the future. I hear that complaint all across the theological spectrum. If we could just turn back the clock to the good old days, that's what I hear some people say. We could just turn back the clock to the 1950s, to the good old days, then everything would be all right. But maybe we need this period of wilderness. Maybe it is in this period of wilderness where we will come to see the glory of God. Maybe it's in this period of wilderness where we can come to get the Egypt out of us. You know, we in the church have been conditioned by the Egypt. We've been conditioned by the ways of the world. We have colluded sometimes with the ways of the world. And maybe this period of wilderness is God's way of getting us to trust Him. Is God's way of getting us to live differently. We don't have to collude with the forces and powers of death around us. We don't have to give ourselves over to the incessant consumerism of our culture. We don't have to be enslaved by this desire to go out and get as much as we can get and be indifferent to our neighbor. We don't have to live that way. Maybe that's the way they want to live on Survivor. Maybe that's the way that people in our society want to live. Maybe that's the model to live in our corporate headquarters. Maybe that's the way to live for the world, but that's not the way we have to live. We don't have to be enslaved to that. We've been set free by God. We can be assured of the goodness of God. We know that with God's abundance, there's enough. There's enough for all of us. The world tells us that everything is scarce, the resources are scarce, so you got to go out and grab all you can get. But in God's way, in God's kingdom, in God's economy, there's enough. There's enough for all of us. We don't have to live enslaved anymore. We are called to be the people of God. We are called to trust God, to trust God with our very lives. We are called to put our lives in the hands of the one who gave us the true bread, the bread that was taken, the bread that was blessed, the bread that was broken on the cross, the bread that was broken for you and for me, so that we might have true life. Not the artificial life that we see in our advertisements. Not the artificial life that's constantly pumped up through us on billboards. But we are given the opportunity for real life. Life in the love of God. Life in the love of our neighbor. life in a community where we learn what it means to be faithful and trusting before the abundant generosity of a loving God. Let us pray. Eternal God, we give you thanks. We thank you for your abundance, for your generosity, for your love, for your presence in our midst. We thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and what it means that he came in our midst and died for each and every one of us. We thank you for your great love for each and every one of us. Lord, we ask that you help us truly to be the people that you have called us to be. We ask that you help us to live our lives in a different kind of way. We ask that you help us to trust you, to not be anxious and fearful about our lives. We pray that you give us this day our daily bread so that we might know and trust you who are the source of our lives. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.